so grateful because we know you, the true God. The true God. And eternal life. And your Son, Jesus, that you sent to the earth so we could see what you were really like and come to know you in reality. We enter your word now with reverence and awe, recognizing the limitations of the natural human mind to receive, to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into human words. Therefore, we ask for help, fresh unction and anointing from heaven, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and wills to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as we speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great measure from your throne to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. So as men hear them, Lord God, the word will bring healing, it will bring deliverance, yokes will be broken, men will be set free so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy. So I will deliver this word faithfully, Lord, redeeming the time and saying only what you want me to say. Bringing out a treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that time of prayer, in their own individual life, agreed with me and said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I have a very important prophetic landmark message I have been instructed to deliver for us today. It is a message that we have to really take heed to. It's not just for scripture pasture, it's for the whole church. And I've entitled it, strange title, but you'll understand when I share the scriptures that the Holy Spirit gave it to me from, as entitled Fire, Division and Unity. Wow. Fire, Division and Unity. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching the Pharisees and the people of his time. And and we're going to read from verses, firstly, from verses 49 through 53. And then I will take it from there as the Lord enables me. Jesus speaking, and he says these strange words that most people would probably, if Jesus, if they didn't say it was Joseph said, they said, no, Jesus can't say such a thing. But he said it. He said, I am come. I didn't hear you. To send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay. Wow, strange. He's Prince of Peace. But rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Let's stop there to start with. Then follow me to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Behold. Behold means look and see. It means God is trying to show you something, you know, usually spiritual. It's not something that's physical that you can see with two eyes. So, you know, open your eyes spiritually so you can see. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall what? Suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he, the messenger, shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. I didn't hear you. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he, the messenger, is like a what? Refiner's fire, like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will what? Purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the last scripture, and this is my introduction, is in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm going to read just one verse. Now. 2 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. Now. There was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. These three scriptures give us a prophetic revelation of what the church is about to experience as the Lord comes to his temple with what we call Feast of Tabernacles, Manifestation of the Sons of God, the glory of God. And in this particular context, I'm going to use the baptism of fire. All the same thing, but different explanations or detail of the same event. I shared with us some months ago about the issue of the baptism of fire. We have three baptisms. Actually, there are four, but let's just concentrate on the three that everybody's that people know. When you got born again, there's a baptism. It wasn't a physical baptism. It's an immersion into the body of Christ. So there's that. There's a baptism into Christ. Then there's the baptism of water, which all of us should have done. If you're born again, you know, you should, if you haven't baptized in water, go and do it as quickly as possible. Find a pastor or a church. We have a baptismal font here. If you haven't done it, let the pastors know. They will arrange a time for you to come and do it. It's important because Jesus said so. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Even though it is a physical ceremony, it illustrates, or rather it depicts, spiritual truth of what has already taken place inside you. You died with Christ and you rose again. So they put you into the water, total immersion, not sprinkling. And then they bring you out, you know, in the name of the Lord. They baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a public expression of the inward faith that you already had when you got born again. Then there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak in tongues, which enables you to be tapped into the supernatural realm much more effectively, so that, you know, tongues is the gateway really to the supernatural, because it is a supernatural event. You know, you begin to speak in a language you don't know. It could be tongues of men, it could be tongues of angels. And so whenever he's praying tongues, you make contact with the supernatural realm. It's God's way of bridging us. He's given us a direct hotline, you know, to the supernatural realm. That's why the Bible says when you speak in tongues, you don't, you know, you speak mysteries, you speak the wisdom of God, and you tap also into the supernatural power of God. Tongues is very, very powerful. That's why God gave us three chapters on it. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. On tongues alone. You know, now, is tongues everything? No, it's not everything, but it's very important. Now, of course, it can be misused as it has been misused. It can be rendered ineffective as it has been rendered ineffective, but it does not do away with its efficacy. Like I said some time ago when I was teaching on these same things. The fact that somebody crashed his aeroplane doesn't say I was going to stop flying. That's stupid. I mean, why would I stop flying because somebody crashed his plane? So God's like, oh, I will never fly again. No, flying is dangerous because somebody crashed his plane. But there are hundreds of thousands of flights going on every day that people don't crash. In fact, statistics tell us that flying is still the safest way of transportation. It's even safer than going in your car when you take the probability. How many people have accidents on the road? How many people have accidents in the air? You've got a smaller percentage of people that have accidents in the air than on the road. It is true flying can be dangerous if proper preparation is not made. For instance, there was recently, you know, I just comment on this because it's on the news. You know, there was a crash in Indonesia, Lion Air. You know, and they got the black box, which is a computer. You know, it records the last things. And what happened was that there's an automatic control inside the plane, and the pilots didn't switch it off. So they were trying to make the plane go up. The plane was going down because they didn't switch it off. So they were struggling with the plane. That's what caused the crash. Now, why they did that, I don't know. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe they weren't instructed. Maybe it was just carelessness. In fact, in that particular case, the reports I heard on CNN and said that, you know, the thing already had an error. And they had just flown it from one place. So they should have actually grounded the plane, made sure that the error was corrected, and switched it off. Because it would automatically try. So when you try and raise something, it will bring it down. So they were struggling with the plane until it crashed. And all the people perished. 129 of them. All we're talking about is just grammar. All those people are dead. Now, I know those pilots were not bad pilots. And they didn't intend to kill the people. They themselves died. You know, just the same thing happens spiritually. Won't listen to instruction. Do it my own way. You can't do that in the spirit realm. There are too many things going on. Anyway, don't let me get off on that. So you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is speaking in tongues. Then there's a third baptism. That's the one we're still expecting. It's called the baptism of fire. What happens there is that, you know, the glory of God manifests itself as fire. You see that in the burning bush. Moses saw a bush. It was burning, but it was not consumed. So he said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight. Then when he turned and God saw he turned, he said, Take your shoes from off your feet. That's where some of our brethren get not wearing shoes to church. But another message for another day. You shouldn't do that. You can wear shoes, all right. Well, God was just trying to get Moses' attention that, you know, you're in a holy place. And then he spoke to him and said, you should go to Egypt and deliver the people. But the important point is that you will find that every time you see the presence of God, it's always described as fire. See this in Ezekiel chapter 8 in verse 2. It says, you know, talking about God, the Holy Spirit. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, from his loins downward, fire. From his loins upward, fire. So fire is one of the physical manifestations. You see it, you know, when the glory of God is in manifestation. You know, that's why in the wilderness they saw the fire at night. Then in the day, it looked like a cloud. The same Holy Spirit, different manifestations. Anyway, so when the baptism of the fire comes, that's what's going to bring the Spirit without measure. It's going to burn all the remaining vestiges of sin inside our soul and in our body on the inside. Then on the outside, it will manifest as glory. So a lot of the power of God that you see, that's why most people, when you get healed, you feel a warm glow. When the anointing is strong, even here, when you are worshiping God, you can feel it. It's like electricity. You feel it in your hand. You can tell when the anointing is strong. You can tell when it goes down. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it will be as if my palms are on fire. It's happened to me many, many times over the years. You know, when I pray and pray and pray, you know, and God doesn't do it every day. You know, but sometimes you just feel as if they put a coal of fire in your hands and under my feet. You know, it's because the power of God, because that's why I say lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. One of the gateways through which it comes out is your hands. So that's why your hands feels the fire. Hello. So this is still ahead of us, the Feast of Tabernacles. So the first one is Feast of Passover, water baptism. Feast of Pentecost, speaking in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then Feast of Tabernacles, the baptism of fire. It's ahead of us. You know, I believe it's in another few weeks, months. I don't know the exact day and hour, but I certainly know that this is the time. So the baptism of fire is going to bring, you know, internal purity that has never been experienced on the earth before. That's why it says he will purify the sons of Levi. He will purge them as gold and silver on the inside. Then on the outside, because that internal purification has taken place without fire, there will be the glory of God. And then you ask what you will, it will be done unto you. You will lay hands on the sick, instantly they will be recovered. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just say this, you know, in passing, just to corroborate it, you know, what I've told you is from the Word. Great prophet of God, Kenneth Hagin, had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ many, many years ago in the early 50s, 1950, then had another one in 1952. And in one of those visions, you know, this happened to him. The Lord Jesus asked him, said, I'm going to give you a special anointing. He had been praying for the sick. He'd been having miracles in his ministry. He said, I'm going to give you a special anointing, minister to the sick. He said, put out your hands, you know, in the vision. And Jesus touched his hands. Immediately he touched his hands, fire. He started feeling it, you know, like as if you put coals of fire on his palms, you know. And Jesus told him, he said, when you lay hands on the sick, he said, you will feel that fire go out of you. When it goes out of you, it goes to the body of the person, it will effect a healing and a cure. And Kenneth Hagin had an anointing for many, many years, you know. And he said, anytime Jesus actually told him this, he said, if the fire goes down, say, pray, fast and pray, and he'll come back. Anyway, so those were special anointings in those days. This is not going to be permanent. Amen. We're going to have it permanently. So it's ahead of us. However, with this baptism of fire, it's going to come a division in the church. And this is why Jesus said what he said. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how straitened I am until it be accomplished. You know, and he said, you know, how I until it be kindled. He says, you know, it's a, he called it fire. Let's go back there in Luke chapter 12. I believe it's verse 49, somewhere in there. Yeah, I am come to send fire on the earth. So this hasn't happened yet. It happened a little bit in Pentecost, but the full thing is about to happen now in the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. And when it comes, it's going to bring initially division. That's why I called it fire, division, and unity. Ultimately, it's going to bring unity, but initially, it will bring division. Why? The reason why it will bring division is because of the rebellion, the dishonesty, the disobedience of many people in the church. That's why truth initially divides, because the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged, dividing, even to divide the asunder soul and spirit. But, you know, the truth of God's Word always divides people, because the people who want the truth will stick with the truth, and the people who are against the truth will go against the truth, and then they'll be against each other. So that's why in one house you have three, two. You know, father against son, son against father, daughter against mother, mother against daughter, father and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. It's not the will of God, but it's what's going to happen because of the dishonesty of the human heart and the rebellion of the human heart. And to typify this, we see what happened when the transition took place between the kingdom of the reign of David and the reign of Saul. It's going to happen again in the church. As I'm speaking tonight, or rather this morning, it's in the afternoon now, you know, you have two sets of Christians in the church. They are all brethren. They are all Christians. Just like in Israel, they were all Israelites. They were all the people of God. But you have one set of people who have a David kind of heart, and you have another set of people who have a Saul kind of heart. The David heart is an honest and a humble heart. The Saul heart is a rebellious and a stubborn heart. And this baptism of fire is going to throw up this division. It's going to make it obvious. And there will be a fight. It won't be not physical. The spiritual, it's like a spiritual civil war. For instance, in America, you know, in 1860, You know, the American Civil War was fought between the North and the South. And the issue was slavery. The people in the North, the people from New York and, you know, Washington and all those places, you know, further north, felt that this slavery is against God's law. It's even against our constitution. For we, the people, the American Constitution says, you know, that hold these truths to be self-evident. It was written by men of God, George Washington and a lot of others. They crafted it. It was actually crafted in a church called St. John's Church in Virginia. I've forgotten the name of the city. You know, in 1775. This was just before the Declaration of Independence in 1776. They held the meeting in a church. That church is there. I think I've been there with Joshua once, you know, when Joshua was in military school in Virginia. It's in Richmond. It's one of the places you need to go if you, you know, with a tourist attraction. Go and read the history. Amen. And it was in that church called St. John's Church. It's in Richmond in Virginia. They said, we hold these truths to be said, that God has created all men equal and they have a right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And that was not happen to the Negro slaves. The Negro slaves had no right. They could not pursue happiness. They were treated like your car. And your possession. You could sell them. You could buy them. You can take a father and a mother and separate them. Sell the father to another person. Sell the mother to another. Oh, it used to happen. How many people have watched the film Roots? Go and watch it. It'll help you to understand what happened then. You know, it would divide, you know, the children. The children will be born. They will marry her off and sell her to somebody else and separate her from her parents. Oh, this happened to millions of Negro slaves all over the plantations in the South. And many of some of the white guys from the North, you know, said, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is contrary to the Bible. It's contrary to the Constitution. We've got to stop the slavery. The South said no, because slavery was the economic backbone. That was how they made their money. They made their money from cotton, exactly. Cotton and tobacco. You know, they called it the Golden Triangle. You take the slaves from West Africa, you know, you take them across to America. When they get to America, you sell them. When you sell the slaves, they go and work on the plantations. When they work on the plantations, you get cotton, you get tobacco, and then you ship it across to England. Amen. And then from England, you go back to Africa, pick the slaves again. It was called the Golden Triangle. Great wickedness. And they used the Bible to justify it. Don't let me get off into that. But it was a wrong interpretation. Remember, the letter kills. The spirit gives life. Yes, you could find a few, you know, because the Bible talked about slaves. And you could have a slave and you can pierce his ear and he can stay with you forever if he wills. You know, you can sell. But it wasn't the will of God. You know. Anyway, to cut a long story short, what happened then was that many of these guys, the conscience of many of the Americans, white Americans. That is why it is very wrong to condemn all white men. Many white men fought and killed other white men to set black men free. Give the Lord a clap offering. Don't you ever make a blanket condemn of anybody. That's why it's very wrong to, you know, to say, oh, Yorubas are this, Igbos are that. You can't put a blanket. People are different individually. They may be a general characteristic, but you find that many people, there are a lot of good white men. They fought and killed other white men so that the black man could be set free. And thank God he was set free. Like old Martin Luther King said, thank God, God Almighty, free, free, free at last. Anyway, so there was a civil war in America. In the same way in the church, there is a civil war that is about to start. The spiritual civil war. And it's the same thing to set men free. You have one set of Christians like Saul. stubborn, rebellious. They want to keep people in bondage. They don't allow them to grow spiritually so that they can exploit them and take the money from them. So they'll keep coming to the big man of God to buy anointing oil. And you know, that's what they want. And they perpetuate that by not teaching the people and allowing them to grow. Then you have this other set of Christians, you know, who have the heart of David, you know, with honesty and humility. They want people to grow, and they keep telling them, you have to grow to the fullness of Christ. The time will come when you don't need any pastor to pray for you anymore. Wow. You want to spoil the business? Praise the Lord. It's the truth. So this fire that is coming will bring all this out. It's there already, but it's latent at the moment. The word latent means hidden. You know, it's there. It's already, as I speak now, people are like that. In the church, you know, you've got the wise virgins. That's another illustration. You have the foolish virgins. They're all virgins. They're all children of God. Just like all the people in Israel are all Israelites. And it's very interesting, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you find, you know, that, you know, the same people who served Saul served David later on. If you just change the leadership, people will change. Leadership is very important. Anyway, so this fire, this baptism of fire, this spirit without measure, this manifestation of the glory of God, this manifestation of sons of God, different synonyms, different descriptions of the same event, is going to cause a division. It's going to bring out, it's already there, but it's going to make it obvious. And then you got to decide which camp you're in. And I want to give you a good counsel now. Make up your mind now. It may be too late when the glory comes. Shift. If you haven't shifted camp, some people are sitting on the fence and waiting to see what's going to happen. Go, why don't you do this? Be honest. Go into the Word. Find out what the Word of God says and side with the Word of God. Don't side with men. Don't side with denominations. Don't side with movements. You side with men. And you see this great truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is talking here about, you know, what's going to happen, you know, at the end and all of that. But it has a strong application to us in the end time. You know, now, he's talking about our Christian lives and how we grew and develop spiritually. So he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's read from verse 13. He says, every man's work, I didn't hear you, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it what? The man's work shall be revealed by what? Fire. So this fire that's coming is going to reveal the kind of Christian you are. It's not, it can change you to some degree if you have the right heart. But really, the baptism of fire, when the glory comes, it's going to reveal what has been the heart that has been hidden all these years. It will come out. It will be clear who you are. Read it. Every man's work shall be made manifest. The word manifest means it will be made clear. For the day shall declare it, because it, the work, shall be revealed by what? Fire. And the fire will try every man's work to see what sort of work it is. You know, a lot of people say, oh, this is going to happen, you know, at the bema seat of Christ, which is true, you know, but there is an application here to the baptism of fire. Hallelujah. It's a prophetic thing. You know, verse 14. I'm not talking to anybody here. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive what? What's that reward? The glory. The spirit without measure. So the guys who have the right heart, whose work is silver and gold, you will see them manifesting the power and the glory of God. They will receive a reward. Watch this. Next verse. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? Loss of the reward. He won't get it. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Remember the scripture I shared the other day? Snatching them out of the fire? He'll be saved, but brother, he's saved, you know, almost by the skin of his teeth, so to speak. You know, that's why you need to do the preparation now. And that's hence this prophetic message. You know, so he said so a lot of people, this is what's going to really cause the problem. This is where the problem is going to come. Do you understand? People whose work isn't good quality, they won't get the reward. The people whose work is gold and silver, they will get the reward. Then the people who don't get the reward will get angry. Envy. Cain and Abel. He says, and his countenance fell. Because his brother's works, sacrifice was accepted. Again, fire. See, God's fire came down and consumed Abel's sacrifice. But there was no fire on Cain's own. So Cain got angry. And what did he do? Tried to kill his brother. The good news about this one is that Cain won't be able to kill Abel this time. Abel is too strong. For the wax, the house of David will wax stronger and stronger. At this time now, you know, Abel is going to win. Cain ain't going to win. He's not going to kill. It's not going to be possible for him just going to kill Abel like he did, you know, before. Because Abel now is of the house of David. And Cain is of the house of Saul. Amen. David will survive. Saul will die. You're not of the house of Saul. So say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Or should we say, you know, you want to get out of the house of Saul quick. You know what the prophet said, one of the prophets, he said, what has Jehoshaphat gone to do in the house of Ahab? Jehoshaphat, good king, good heart. You go and make friends, an alliance with the house of Ahab. Don't do that. Leave Ahab alone. Don't go to Ramoth Gilead with him. Those of who doesn't know their Bible, Ramoth Gilead was the place where they went to fight a battle. You know, and God was very angry with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat almost lost his life. Saved so as by fire. He almost lost his life. You know, because you're just being in the wrong place with the wrong people can cost you your life. And you know, yeah, and he was, you know what? He was trying to walk in love. But he didn't have, you see, walking in love is not sentiment. He didn't have, exactly. It takes wisdom to walk in love. But he didn't have the wisdom. So he was just being sentimental and all of that. There are some places you shouldn't be going. There are some people you should not be close to. I didn't say you don't love them. Pray for them from a distance. Where you can, be kind to them. But don't be going in and out with them. Because the day Jehu comes. Jehu was the one that was sent by God, anointed by God, to bring judgment to the house of Jezebel and Ahab. So, Jehu goes, you know, and he begins to kill Jezebel, then, you know, begins to execute all the sons of Ahab. So he gets to one place, and there are these bad guys who came, and he said, you know, where are you guys coming from? And they were very proud, silly people. Yeah, then we're coming from the house of the king. We went to visit the, he told all his men, they fall on them. Simply because of their association. I got another word. Why did Jonathan die? Wrong place. He was on his father's side, but that was not God's side. And it had been revealed to Jonathan. Jonathan told David, he said, I know you will be king. He said, and I will be next to you. The day Saul threw the javelin at his own son. He wasn't just David. He wanted to, because Jonathan was siding with David and was saying, look, the boy, he said, he took excuse from me. He wants to go and make sacrifice to his father in Bethlehem. He told me, he said, he threw his own father. He threw the javelin at Jonathan, his own son. Jonathan had to, you know, evade it. And the javelin didn't pin him down. And he cursed his own son. Say, you son of a whatever. You know, that's the day Jonathan should have said, Daddy, thank you very much. Leave the palace. He would have been with David. Association matters in what is coming. You be in the wrong guys with the wrong people, you know, out of sentiment, and they can be your brother. That's exactly what Jesus said. He said, father against mother, mother-in-law against daughter. I show you the close human relations. Say, you've got to put your relationship with me above the natural human. If they do not align with the truth, stay away from them. I didn't say don't love them. I didn't say when it's their bad, they don't go. I didn't say, you know, don't go when they are doing family something. You will go, but don't be close. Pray for them. If they can change, fine. If they don't, because when the fire comes and the judgment comes, if you're found on the wrong side, like Jonathan, like the guys who went to visit Ahab, like Jehoshaphat, they almost killed Jehoshaphat. They were riding to come and kill him. Then he shouted, and God had mercy on him. Then they saw it was not Ahab. Then they turned back from chasing him. He almost died. And a prophet, God said to the prophet, he said, you are very silly. And this will be translation. You're very silly. What are you doing with Ahab? Hey, we're all Christians. I didn't say we're not all Christians. But do we all have the same heart? Is he a wise virgin or is he a foolish virgin? Is he stubborn and rebellious or is he humble and honest? Locate the hearts of the people you associate with. Withdraw if you see the wrong something. Pray. They may change. If they change and they come over, great. People from the house of Saul went to join David. It's in First Chronicles chapter, because of time. I'll just tell you, you know, warriors, they were from the house of Saul in the tribe of Benjamin. And they came to David and said, David, God bless you and bless the people that are with you. You know, God has spoken to us. It was you who used to lead us out and in, even when Saul was there. Say, we have now come to join with you. And they shift sides. Because they recognize that the anointing had left Saul. You've got to be that wise. For those who are watching on television or YouTube or wherever you're watching, I don't know what kind of Christian you are. I don't know who your associations with. Open your eyes. I'm going to tell you how to identify it in a minute. You've got to know and dissociate. Dissociate doesn't mean fight. It doesn't mean you speak evil of them. It doesn't mean gossip. It just means be wise. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Just keep a distance. Pray for them. Be kind to them. Wherever you have the opportunity to do them good, do them good. Amen. But don't go in and out with them so that Jehu will not find you in the wrong place at the wrong time. A word is enough for the wise. Your Bible will say, Orabo. Tobadenu. Translation. A word is enough for the wise. That's interpretation. It's not a literal translation. Translation means that you only say half a word. When he enters the person, it becomes whole. I'm speaking prophetic code. So, this is the reason. Now, get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to finish that. Yes. You say, yes, so as by fire. So we're done. Right. So this is what's going to happen. The baptism of fire will reveal the kind of work we did by those who get the reward and those who suffer loss. So many of the people who suffer loss will get like Cain. They'll become offended. Offended at God, offended at you. They will, in fact, they will go and join the unbelievers against you. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They will go and say, oh, we know them very well. We used to be with them. We know where they live. We know where they're. That's why it's very stupid for you to be telling everybody what you do. The only reason why Judas could betray Jesus was because he knew he's in and out. And Jesus deliberately allowed it because Jesus wanted to be crucified, because it was part of the plan of God. If Jesus didn't want Judas, Judas would never have known where they went that night. He could have changed location. But he went to the same place because these guys, they'd been looking for Jesus all week. They could never knew where he was. And so it is with us. Be careful who you associate with. That's why I don't even do certain things on social media like Facebook. Everybody knows when you travel. Everybody knows when you come back. Everybody knows when you go. Come on, keep your mouth shut. The Bible says Jesus do not walk in jewelry when he knew they were trying to kill him. It's not everybody you can trust. Some people will sell you for 10,000 naira. Some will say less than that. I'm serious. Friends, brethren. They say, what we will give you something if you would let us know where they are so we can deal with them. Because of the judgment that's going to come against the kings and the nations. So they'll be looking for ways to come against us. And some of the brethren will go and join them. Get money and betray you. But I say, where's that in the Bible? Haven't you read where it says that? And they shall betray one another. Say, because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Okay. So, that's the reason. Now, let's look at one other thing here. You know, I spoke about honesty of heart, but Jesus actually mentioned it here. Look at Luke chapter 12. Jesus helped me. And look at verses 54 to 57. We stopped in verse 53 the other time. We now take it from verse 54. And he said also, I didn't hear you. I said, and he said also to the people, turn to your neighbor, say, he who? Say, he, Jesus. Said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say there cometh a shower, and so it is. Next verse, verse 55. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Next verse. You hypocrites! You see why they didn't like Jesus. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it you do not discern this time? It's amazing to me that history is repeating itself. Hey, Christians all over the whole place. You know, born again, spirit-filled, speaking, tongue-talking people. And they can't discern the times of the time. You keep them there and say things like, you know, Jesus is coming tomorrow. You know, and then, you know, this distorted gospel, man-centered, need-oriented, entertainment-based, as if tomorrow will not come. As if Jesus is not coming in his church. And you know the base reason? Dishonesty. Next verse. Why? Yea. I didn't hear you. And why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Let's paraphrase that. Why can't you just be honest? If you just check your own heart, you will know that this is what is happening. You will know. You, even of yourselves, you can't judge what is right. There's so many people like that. You know, the Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Is it 2 Corinthians chapter 4? He says, you know, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. If I want to preach a message and slant it in a particular way, I know how to do it. So long as the people are silly and they don't know anything. It's the truth. It's the truth. I can preach a prosperity message out of any scripture. You want to test me? I bow for instance. It's the truth. You know, let me just give an example. You see things like, you know, pursue and you shall recover all. It's legitimate scripture. You understand? Now, David was pursuing the Amalekites, but they won't deprive it as Amalekites. You know, the guy who took your money, the guy who took your something, and if you pursue you... Same scripture. And I can preach the same scripture and preach it from a perfection point of view of recovering, you know, the sin from the sin nature and having the life of God develop everything. And then I got to preach the same scripture and you preach it from money. Handling the word of God deceitfully. That's how you will know. Once you identify
a pastor, a church, a ministry, or a brother or sister who handled the word of,
you would tell them the plain word of God like this, and they say, ah, no, you know, and they will twist it and try and interpret it in a way that suits the lust of their flesh. Just step away. I didn't say fight. Don't argue. Just step away and pray for them.
If God peradventure, he says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, you know, patient, you know, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them repentance from the snare of the devil, we are taken captive by him at his will. So you want to be careful, you know. So that's how you will know. Unless the fire hasn't come yet, but before the fire comes, this is how you will know. Always check. Is this person, does he love truth? When you tell him the truth, you know, for instance, let me use another example. We're going close soon. You know, so it's, as I said, there's no, you know, I don't believe in perfection. That person is dishonest. Pastor Lubin's doctrine, of course not. Go to this, it's in the whole New Testament. From Matthew to Revelation. Unless you're not looking for it. What are you going to do with scriptures like, we may grow up into him in all things? As he is, so are we in this world. You know, you show this kind of scripture to people, say, that's not what it means. Just leave them alone. You can see that this one doesn't want the truth. Hello? I don't believe in groaning. I don't believe in praying with me.
Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we do not know which prayer fast we are, but the Spirit himself, not me, not Olubi, the Spirit himself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Then I go and show you John 11, and Jesus groaned. And Jesus groaned. And like I was saying earlier this morning, you know, Jesus prayed quietly there, but there were times he prayed loudly. The Bible says, you know, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying. Hello? What do you want to do with those scriptures? I don't believe in that. Just leave him alone. I don't believe in tongues. Just leave him alone.
Hey, I know the Bible said that, but you know, there are a lot of people. I know a lot of people. If I was all this, you're groaning people. I know some of them that tell lies. I know some of them that you commit adultery. I don't believe in it. Just like saying I crashed because somebody crashed his plane. I don't believe in flying.
That's dishonesty. That's the problem. That's what makes the difference between the two kinds of virgins. The wise virgin and the foolish virgin. The wise, Bible says, God gives wisdom to the lowly. The wise virgins are honest and humble. The foolish virgins are stubborn and rebellious. They will argue in front of facts so that they can take their own position. Hello?
Oh, it's common in humanity. You see, you know, even, you know, you see it all over the whole place. You people just, you know, you tell them that, like people who say, for instance, let's give me another something, there is no God. That guy is dishonest. Mathematically, it has been proven there is God. I shared with you the other day, the DNA inside our body is a computer program. Even Bill Gates, he wrote it in his book. He said it is more sophisticated than any computer program any human being can ever program. And it's just made out of chemical bonds, which is just an interaction of subatomic particles like electrons jumping around the whole place, electron clouds playing around with each other, yet they form a sequence of digits, of ones and zeros, that is a computer code that determines the color of your eyes, that determines the color of your hair, that determines how fat you are, whether how thin you are. And then you tell me there is no God? You just told me you're a fool. Or you're terribly dishonest.
You know why they don't want to know God? Why they don't want any God? Because they don't want anybody to mess around with their lives. So I want to be able to fornicate when I want to fornicate. I want to commit adultery when I want to. I want to be able to do what I like. After all, there is no God. So I now become my own God. So if I'm a boy and I like a boy, that's just the way I feel.
Hello, I had to go there. If you're a gal, you like a gal, you know. After all, there is no God. Yeah, I know the Bible says that, but you know, of course, it's just Jewish fables. There is no God. So I decide what I think is right. And I decide what I think is wrong. Then you know we're going to have confusion. It all comes back to this honesty and of heart. Once you find a man and a woman that is dishonest in their hearts, that will not say the truth, stay away far from them. Love them, oh, pray for them that God can change them. But don't go in and out with them. Do what is Jehoshaphat doing in the house of Ahab? I got to close. Am I helping anybody here? Okay. So, the fire is on the way. Hello. Now, we've dealt with the division. Now let's deal with the unity. What's going to happen is that when the fire comes, because of the glory of God that will be made manifest through, you know, the reward, is now going to unify those who have honest hearts. Then even those who have not yet born again, and good men that have been looking for God, but they didn't see the good, because they saw a lot of distortion in the church. So this is our God, we're waiting for him. So that glory is going to bring about a unity. It first of all bring a division. But the house of Saul will go weaker and weaker, and the house of David will go stronger and stronger. Then it will now alter over time. It will now bring about unity. It's very interesting. If you look at Israel, that's exactly what happened. There was division. It was only for 7 years. You know, it was from, you know, David reigned in Hebron for 7 years. 7 years and 6 months, exactly. You know, then he went to Jerusalem. Then all Israel now came under him. That's what's going to happen in the church. Initially, there'll be a division. Then later on, when people see the glory of God, hallelujah, they will submit to it. Now, I'm going to give you scripture for that. Hallelujah. I'm going to use two types that the Lord has given me that's going to explain this. First of all, I'm not even going to give you, I'm going to give you substance first, then I'll give you the type, you know, to corroborate the substance. Look at John chapter 17, verses 20, 21, and 22, I believe it is, from 2023, John 17. This is Jesus' prayer for his own church. It says, neither pray I for these 12. That time it was just 12 or 70. You know, the 82 of them, 83 of them. You know, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, I didn't hear you, we shall believe on me through their word. That's all of us. Hello? All of us have believed on him through his word. So he's praying for the whole church. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, are in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world, when there's a unity in the church, the world will believe, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 22. And the glory, everybody shout the glory. The glory is going to be the unifying factor. That's why the manifestation of the glory is so important. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one, even as. In other words, without the glory, we will not be one. The glory will settle all controversies. It's going to settle all controversies. Are you listening to me? That's why the fire, it will bring division, and the same fire will bring the glory. It will bring division so that we can remove the wood, hay, chaff, remove it. And those who want to change, bring them back in. Those who don't want to change, well, they'll stay with their fate. Amen? Which they chose. Praise the Lord. The glory will now, those who are left, the honest ones who are left, you know, the glory will now bring all of us, that they may be one, will be one even as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Look at verse 23. I got to close. I in them. I didn't hear you. And thou in me, that they be made what? Perfect in one. There will be no perfection of unity without the manifestation of the glory. That's the reason why Jesus can't come tomorrow. First, because there must first of all be a manifestation of the glory that will bring the division, remove the chaff from the church, remove the house of Saul, then unify the house of David. And it is that glorified house of David that is now one that will make the world know, which is the mandate of the church, that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all ethnos for a witness. Then the end will come. So there will be no end without glory. It's not possible. That they be made perfect in one. I didn't hear you. That the world may know. They won't just believe. They will move from believing to knowing because they will see it. The world will know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know why? They're going to see us do exactly what Jesus did. They're going to see us raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. They're going to see us walk on water. They're going to see us turn water to wine. Then they're even going to see things they didn't see in Jesus' ministry. They're going to see political miracles, intellectual miracles, environmental miracles, economic miracles. Ah! Then they'll say, yes, yes, yes. God loves them just like everything they said that we can see that we are seeing it in their lives. Then they will know. Am I talking to anybody here? Now I give you the type and I close. Numbers chapter 17. In the book of Numbers, there was a controversy about the leadership. The sons of Korah. Alone, Ijaja Korah, Korah Makuru. Free of charge. Korah Kuru. So Malobe. Amen. Korah is rebellion. And you know the amazing thing about this sons of Korah is that they were Moses' cousins. See, the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. They were more privileged than the rest of Israel because they were Moses' cousins. So Moses assigned them. They were the people who were carrying the tabernacle. They were the people who were, you know, they would all the furniture, and they were sons of Korah. When you told them, in our language, that means that was, they were not content with that. There was the only thing they wanted was the priesthood. They wanted to usurp the authority of Moses and Aaron. And even after that, they will still not be satisfied. Because you know what? They will now want to usurp God's own. And that's the thing about rebellion. No matter what you give rebellious people, they will never be satisfied. That is why God always gauges how you treat men. Because the way you treat men is the way you're going to ultimately treat God later on. The guy who will not submit to divinely delegated authority will never submit to God himself. So God is going to use the human authority to filter out all the rebels. They will never reach the throne. Because they would have been tested. If you're not faithful in that which is another man's, who will give that which is your own? If you're not faithful in little, who will make you rule over much? If in this little church they're asking you to just do this and do that, you cannot submit to that. Yeah, is it when you get to heaven you're going to submit? You will never. And God knows that. So he says that he that receives you receives me. He that receives whom I send receives me. If you reject who I send, then you reject me. God delegated the thing. Because he knows that the way he's treating the man now is not going to treat me later on. By the time he's in there for 10,000 years, he will start getting ideas. Like Lucifer. You know? I will be like the Most High. I will raise my throne above the sides of the north. And that's where God's throne is. So what happens to Paul, God? I said that reverentially. You know, what happens to God? You take over everything, you know. And that is a horrible spirit. And it's inside Lucifer. And if you don't use the life of God and the blood of Jesus and the word of God to remove it, that same spirit is inside every human being. When I say spirit, it's a nature. Have you noticed that no matter what you give some people, they will never be satisfied? Haman, the king's horse, and the dress that the king used to wear. He was just revealing his own heart. Yeah. God, the king asked him, said, what shall be done for the man who the king wants to honor? Okay. The king's horse, then the dress that the king wears. Can you see his heart? If he had the opportunity, he would kill the king and take the throne. That's what he was planning ultimately. I just got the facts. You know, it didn't happen and it will never happen. But if Haman's plan had worked, the next person would be the king. You know why? Who paid the people that went to kill the Jews? Haman. Their loyalty will not be... He took the money from the king's coffers. But he paid the people, so their loyalty will be to him. He will now get some of them to kill the king, and he will now become king. Oh, yes. But God sees ahead. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? People who submit to man will never submit to God. Never. No matter how much they say they love God, and it's all lies. Bible says he's a liar. If a man say, he can say it. But Bible says he's a liar. Am I talking to anybody here? And so, what do we have? Korah and his boys. Moses' cousins. It's a very, very terrible story. You know what I said? I can't read everything because of time. They said, you take too much upon yourself. You take too much upon yourself. Are we not all the Lord's people? Has God not spoken by all of us? You want to now take us and kill us in this wilderness? You've told us out of Egypt. We came here. We've been roaming around this wilderness for all these years. You know, you just want to finish us here and make yourself a king over us. Moses was distraught. Because Moses had never done anything to these boys. He's only shown them kindness. You know what Moses said? This is number 16. We're going to get to 17 in a minute. You know where I'll read from. In number 16. Moses said, if I have taken one of their asses. He said, what's wrong with these guys? This is Olubi's translation. What's wrong with these boys? I haven't done anything to them. And they moved the congregation. Chief princes amongst the people. And they began to shout and you know what? God was so angry. God's glory. Whenever God comes in the cloud, he's Moses was angry. God said, Moses, come. Moses and Aaron fell down flat, began to pray for God's mercy. Because God's original intention was to destroy the whole congregation and then start a new race through Moses. He said, these people, they are Moses. God, please take it easy. So God cooled down. God said, okay, get ye away from these wicked men. Don't move near them or near their tents or near their children or their wives. Then Moses says something he has never said before. He said, if these men die the death of common men, then the Lord has not spoken by me. He said, but if the Lord do a new thing, and the ground open, and they are swallowed, then you will know that they have provoked God. And that's what happened. Similar things will happen in our time. Sadly. Regrettably. So it's nothing I take any joy from. But it's going to happen. It's not because of men's stubbornness. Because they will even want to kill the servants of God. Yeah. Say, let us kill him. So that the inheritance will be ours. Say, this is the son. Let's kill him. Jesus, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, let's kill Lazarus. So that our place, the Romans will not come. Oh, in Kotasha Majeshani. It's what I'm going to eat. Let's kill him. Kill Lazarus. The same thing. Because when you start preaching this gospel, borrowed anointing, little children start raising the dead and all of that, you're going to take the gari away. Because the thing that they are using to get offering and everything, it now becomes common. The, you know, supply outstrips demand and the price goes to zero. Because freely we receive, freely we give. We get it, we don't charge anything for it. It's going to spoil business. Then they'll try and kill you. It's going to happen. Mark my word. Are you listening to me? For the sons of Korah, you know. So God was so angry. And even after that, after the plague, after the, those ones who died inside the ground, God sent out a plague. And people were there. It took Aaron. Moses said, run. Go and get your censer. Which is a type of intercession and prayer. Then Aaron was running like this. And then his intercession, that's why you need covering. He stood between the dead and the living. Lord, have mercy. That's what happened. He stood. His prayers, his censer, the incense, which is a type of prayer, you know, separated. And then the plague stayed where Aaron stood. All the people on this side died. All the people on this side lived. That's why it's good to have... Thank you. He stood between the dead and the living. You know, that's why it's good to stay under covering. Stay humble. All this agidi, all this stubbornness and pride, it'll just kill you. You will not die in Jesus' name. So stop it. I got to close. Am I helping anybody here? Numbers chapter 17. We're going to read verse 5 to 10 and I close. This is it. And so, Nikashala Kardofrino, please. Ha ha. So, after all this wahala in our language means trouble. You know, after all this trouble, God now said, look, I got to settle this issue of leadership. So people will know who is the leader that God approves. So, and it shall come to pass. He told them all them to bring their rods. You know, I won't read everything. That the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom. I didn't hear you. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. Now, look at me and you. Me is God, you is Moses. That in other words, I'm going to show my approval on you so that all the rebellion, all the murmuring against you will stop. Next verse. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel and every one of their princes and gave him a rod apiece. For each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass. Everybody shouted. That on the morrow, when Moses went to the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron. For the house of Levi was budded, and it brought forth buds, bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. Another message for another day. Let's just put that there on one side. Amen. But he's talking about the physical body manifesting the life of God. The fruit of the spirit inside the physical body. Because you see, the rod was dead. It had been cut from a tree. It was already dead. It wasn't attached to any tree. It wasn't inside the ground. Where would he get the water from? Where would he get the nourishment from? For it to blossom and to bud. It was supernatural. It was God who did it. So when the life of God is made manifest in your mortal flesh, then people will shut up. Ha ha. Verse 9. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quit. Take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. Isn't God kind? He doesn't want them to die. So he said, anytime they see that manifestation, they will remember. And they will stay humble. And this is how God is going to bring about the unity of the church. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. There's going to be a manifestation. So it's in this sequence. It's going to be, let's say, fire, division, and then unity. That's what's coming. Let's say, fire, division, and unity. That's how it's going to come. It's right ahead of us now. You know, Jesus did something in his ministry, which is similar to what I've done now. I'm just copying his example. He preached about eating his flesh and drinking his blood 2 years, or 1.5 years before it started happening. Are you listening to me? And that's why I call it prophetic teaching. You're teaching what is coming. It hasn't yet come. It's close. It's not far away. You know? So this message I've given you is just like that. When the glory comes, you're going to see the fire will come. It will bring division. And then later on, it will bring unity. Sadly, between the time of division and unity, there will be casualties. And that's why now, that's why I gave the example. Even the people who were in the house of Saul, the sons of Benjamin, they changed. When they recognized the anointing on David. Once you recognize, don't let family tie. Don't let, you know, misplaced loyalty. Your loyalty should be to the word of God. Not to your denomination, not to where you are born, not to the man that bought you baby bears. I don't know where that came from. You know the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yeah. Your Lord is not the guy who gave you a Jeep or bought you a house in Lekki. Your loyalty is to the word of God. And if that guy doesn't change, you change. So you don't die with him. Like Jonathan sadly died with Saul. Why did Jonathan die? He preferred the comfort of the palace to the insecurity of the wilderness. Not knowing the scripture, he that will save his life will lose it. And he that will lose his life for my sake shall find it. David lost his life and found it. Jonathan tried to keep his life and lost it. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Fire is coming, folks. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The glory of God. Hallelujah. And it's going to reveal the kind of work we're doing now. So get your work right now. And this is really of the heart. You know, say, oh, I'm going to do like Paul. I'm going to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. I'm not going to walk in craftiness. I'm not going to handle the word of God deceitfully. If the Bible says it, I'm going to accept it. I'm not going to play all these games I've been playing before. You can do that tonight, to this afternoon. Like the people of Benjamin, they shifted aside. A lot of people shifted aside from the house of Saul to the house of David. Lots of people did it. Lots of people did it. Once they saw the way the thing was going. Hello? Remember Abigail? You know Abigail, you know, her husband was one neighbor, one silly guy. You know, Abigail recognized the anointing on David. And said, this is my husband. He said, his name is so easy. Let us leave him alone, you know, and all of that. She told him everything. The man had a heart attack. And you know what she told David? She said, everyone knows that my Lord is like an angel and that you'll be king. He said, if you kill this silly neighbor and his people, he said, it will be on your conscience when you become king. At that time, David had not yet become king, but the honest hearted in Israel knew who the true king was. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit. Amongst us, hallelujah. Us with holy fire, as we lay aside, all earthly desire. Hands reach out, strike those hands out. Aspire, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you again. Personal.
I welcome you.
Say, Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, receiving your blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Receive your life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Receive your power. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that has shown me things to come. I see that right ahead of us, your fire is coming to the church that will initially bring division and then ultimately perfect unity. My Father and my God, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to prepare my heart for this coming of your fire. Help me, Lord, not to build with wood, hay, and stubble, but rather to build with gold and silver and precious stones, so that when the fire comes, it will not destroy me, but rather it will refine me. It will refine me, and I will offer up an offering of righteousness. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, I present my heart before you of my own free will, with understanding of what I have heard this afternoon. I renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. I will not walk in craftiness. I will not handle the word of God deceitfully. In Jesus' name, by your mercy and grace. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Lo predica tolo masto fredes. Lo predia ka shoko fredes. Lo predi glama tolo masho. Le rana mashali kiko fre. Ze fridio. Lungara. La gara tolo masholo. Lo prediga. Lo predi glama tolo mashala kiko fredis. Zifre. Nengara gash. La predile mashale kiko fredes. Nom predia ka shale go ronom zeden zgihio. Yehigo nzelehiko dolomotolo mosto fenes. Libre gagamatolo mashola kagagamatolo matu frede freshe. Togamatolo masho. Lombre gagamatolo. Lombre gagamatolo matu frede freshe. 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 Zufri. Lombre gagama. Tolo mashala. Lombre gagamatolo matu fres. Nufrides. Longeras, Gias, Nofis, Longardalas, Tufrines, Tolos, Tufrines, Ingaras, Tufrines, Longardales, Tolomagaradolos, Tolos, Tufrines, Tolomash Tufrides, Nofrilias, Gilica Cobras, Tolomaras, Tufrides, Longardales, Lumbrides, Tufrides. In Jesus' name, use your hand to touch your body. Just your tummy, somewhere, anywhere. And we're going to release the fire of God, the healing power, into your body. Say, Father, Lord, have mercy on us. As we pray, we receive your blood, your life, and your power. Now, in Jesus' name, I release your healing power into my physical body. I say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection life and power, I am healed now, in Jesus' name. Nekatalama shokufrides. Lupridigla matolo mashalakar, lumbridig tu fridila, lombrica mashalaki co fredesk, lumbridigla matolo, zerclamatoros, lumbrica matolo matolo matu frish, toclamatolo matolo lamperdu frishe, umbrica clamatolo macroclamatu frishe, umbrica matolo matu frishe, zofridigger, tolomatu fridigar dofres, tolomangas, tolomastufres, tolomatufrides, tolomastufrides. In Jesus' name. What we've just done now, do it every day. You see, just because less than 1 minute. Lay hands on yourself. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. I receive your blood, your life, and your power. And just say, Lord, I declare that I am healed. I release your healing power into my body. And just pray in tongues, just for a few minutes. But make it consistent. Because you keep applying power into the physical body. So anything Satan is trying to do on the cellular and the microscopic level, you're already changing it, so it will never develop. See, God knew what he was doing when he gave them those commandments. You know, he said, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. My name is Jehovah Rapha. He said, keep this word in your mouth. He says, his word is life unto those that find them and medicine to all their flesh. Do it. Simple instruction. Do it with an honest and an humble heart. You know, I'm not saying you won't get attacks, but when they come, there'll be enough in you to push it out. Hallelujah. You will live, you will not die. Now join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lifts up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gate of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, he passed unto you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of David, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. And of Elisha. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, say, you have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. You don't walk in craftiness. And you do not handle the word of God deceitfully. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.